And what I'm going to talk about is visualization. Now, this is one of my favorite topics in the Bible because it's basically you see it, you believe it, you do it, you have it. End of story. But your imaginative ability is your creative ability. So we've heard this statement before, we know this, but if you can't see where you're going in life, if you can't see where God is taking you, it's going to be very difficult for the promises that He's given you to come to pass. So if you can't see it, it's very difficult. I'm not saying God won't make it come to pass, but how can you step into something if you don't believe that's for you or it's what God has planned for you? You know, we were not only created in the physical image of God, we were created in His likeness, in His nature, and everything that God is, so are we. And I mean, we all know those things, but oftentimes we forget it. We visualize not just to imagine it, but we have to visualize it and do it as well. So a lot of times, and even myself, for many years, I saw the visions and I saw the dreams and I had the desires that God had for me, but I never put it into action. And for me personally, the Lord was revealing to me this week, particularly why some of those things hadn't come to pass yet. It's because it wasn't my season of manifestation. It wasn't my season, but yet, and He revealed to me how I was still putting preparation into it. But if you imagine it, you have to do something about it as well. Remember, the Bible says faith is action. So for you to be able to do those things, you have to put an action to it as well. Amen? Are you guys with me? You have to see something. So whatever you see for yourself, it has to be based on the Word of God, based on the promises that He has for you. Somebody in this week said to me, you know, in their e-group, they were asking about, you know, what is their purpose? What is their mission that God has given them? And they said to the e-group leader, I don't know. You know, and then they asked me, is this okay? Is it fine that I don't know? So I said to them, yes, it is fine. But what does help is, and Prophet tells us this many times, what helps when it comes to your calling and your mission and the assignment that God has placed you on this earth for, it's linked to your passions and it's linked to your desires and what excites you about life, what gives you a purpose, what do you wake up thinking about, what do you go to sleep thinking about. And I also said to her, you know, when it comes to callings, there's many subcategories, but there's two main things. It's either business or it's ministry. It doesn't have to mean full-time ministry, but you can be an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a mother. I believe a mother is a ministry on itself. or you can be called to a business field. But for me, the first step would be, are you drawn more towards a business aspect or are you drawn more towards the ministry aspect of it? And then you work with God on that. So I said, if you see something, it must be based on the Word of God, based on the promises. If He doesn't have, like for me, for example, I said it at the women's conference, I'm not called to business at all. I must say I'm starting to get more intrigued by it and stuff like that, but I don't feel like I'm called to business. But then again, other people love business. So I want us to go to Joshua 6, verse 1. Joshua 6, verse 1. We all know the story very well. We know what happens here. It says, now Jericho... can you put it in the King James Version, please? Now Jericho was strangely shut because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man of valor. So if you look at verse number 1, we know the story and we've said it already so far, but they were in offslate. I'm not going to say the English word of it because I don't want there to be censorship. But if you're not Afrikaans, offslate means... the thing that you put a key into... and the opposite of up. So you get the point. I'm really just doing that because I don't want there to be any right for them to censor us. But anyway, so in verse number one, we see that they were in that. And then in verse number two, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua," every time when you read the word of God, or let me say it this way, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand." So everything when it comes to the word of God, I want you to start reading your Bible a little bit differently. So every time when you see something that is related to somebody, you say, "In my hand." So, "And the Lord said to Esterly, see, I have given into thy hand." I thought you would be a bit more excited than that. So when you read the Bible, the promises of the word is for you. Even though it was Joshua in this situation, you have a situation that you are facing. You have a problem or a challenge that you are facing. And the word of God is there for you to stand on the promises so that you know how to fight. So that you have something physical to fight with, a weapon to fight with, which is the word. And also it says that, the word says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, see." So Joshua had to see. Now we've been taught many times on this, and I'm going to get more into it. And it says, "See," which is the word ra, which talks about to perceive, to envision, to observe, and to look upon. And then it says, "I have given into thine hand." Not, "I will give into your hand." I have. So even though the situation was still had to happen, he still had to get in there. The thing is that it says, "I have." So the Lord has given you, or he has made you anointed. He has given you power, authority, dominion over every situation. Not, "He will give it to you." And what limits us so many times is that we think, "I just need to pray a bit more. I just need to be a bit more anointed." You are living by the law. You are living by works, not by the promises that God has given you. Trust me, I'm like the expert in living in the law. Why do you think I'm so free now? Come on, somebody. So the Lord said he had given to it. And the thing is if Joshua, who was in the Old Testament, could receive this, and if Abraham received what he received in the Old Testament, and Elijah, and if they did all these great exploits in the Old Testament, we who are in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we have the Holy Spirit. We have him living and breathing inside of us as our helper. How much more should we be doing? I didn't say how much more you can be doing, because you can do it. You just don't do it. We need to see what we want. We need to speak what we want. And then we need to do what we want. Your words need to go with what you see and what you have seen. So the words that you speak, I mean, we just did a whole thing about words and how important your words are and what you speak, what you say. You will be, a lot of times we focus on the negativity and we speak the negative and, and that's what you will have. Don't allow your words to align with darkness. But let it align with the life that you see, the life of God. Stop explaining all the negatives to God. When you go before God, and what happens with a lot of people is they, just go before the Lord in time of like begging God and crying and feeling sorry for themselves and being a victim. Stop going to God with all the negativity, with all the sicknesses, with all your challenges, with all your problems that you're facing. He wants you to have childlike faith. He wants you to have faith, knowing like a child. I mean, if you look at a child and if you see how they absorb everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you show you, they absorb it and they see everything. How much more should we not be absorbing the word of God? So every promise that the word that the Lord has for you, he wants you to absorb the promises that he has for you. And he wants you to begin to act in them. For children, the possibilities are endless. If you've ever listened and heard their imaginations, their abilities, what they think they can do. I mean, if I had to tell Scarlett I'm Wonder Woman, you better believe she's going to school and she's telling everybody her mommy is Wonder Woman and she can do all these things. In the same way, we need to take the word of God, absorb that word, and begin to believe it with our whole hearts. Your possibilities are endless. What you can do is endless. You just need to believe. Life is spiritual. And we as believers need to get to the realization that every single thing in your life is spiritual. The sooner you believe it, the sooner you'll have victories over your life. When you desire positive and godly things, now here are some notes, 3 points. when you desire positive, godly things, you need to, one, visualize them. So number one, you need to visualize them. Number two, you need to establish them in the realm of the Spirit. You need to establish them in the realm of the Spirit. And you need to speak them into being. So you need to speak them into being. Number three, what is so amazing, and somebody asked me the other day how long I've been saved, how long I've been serving God. And I said to them the day that I was born, which is the truth, I had a mom and dad that, were spirit-filled, they believed in God, and we lived a Christian life and all that. So I've been saved my whole life, but I've had a lot of limitations on my life. And one of the things, so much happened in this time, for those of you who don't know, I just came out of a fast where I did a 43-day fast. And in that, the reason for that fast is because there were certain breakthroughs that I needed. There was a season that God was taking me into and all of you into. But one of the things a light bulb went off is that I understood the importance of relationship with God. And even though my whole life I've been talking to God, and it's always been this internal conversation where, you know, I would have a thought, I would have a suggestion, and immediately it was contradicted with the word. Or, you know, the Holy Spirit would just speak inside of me. And so I always, and I mean, I know that I had the relationship with God, but God took me into a deeper level and a deeper dimension when it comes to relationship with Him. And something that I understood, I'm hoping that I'm not throwing my pearls before the swine. I'm not calling you a swine. I'm just saying I'm hoping it's not. But I'm someone who's very real, very practical. I will share with you everything that God has for me. You're either going to take it or you're going to leave it. You're either going to use it just like I am or you're going to leave it. I'm not selfish when it comes to the revelation of God. I believe that we all have the ability to step into things. And my goal and my mission is to get you there as quick as possible, as far as possible. But anyway, so one of the things where, and I was doing it before, and tonight we're going to be teaching on another powerful principle that we've done almost daily, but we never understood the significance behind it and the power behind it. So make sure that if you're not in the building tonight, that you catch us online. And so what this was for me is that I understood the importance of talking to God, not coming before Him in prayer and begging and there's a time for all those things. There's a time for prayer. There's a time for warfare. There's a time for just adoring God, loving God. So now in the mornings when I wake up, I've created a strict discipline and a habit to wake up every morning because of the busyness of life. I have to do that now in the morning. But what I do now, instead of going there, one of the secrets is, and I'll still teach about that one day, but one of the secrets is when you get there, start off by praying in the Spirit, not in the English. a lot of times people focus and they try and speak for an hour in the Spirit or pray an hour in the Spirit. Speak in the natural or in the English language, Afrikaans, whatever it may be. Start off by talking in your heavenly language, talking to God. Because the perfect will of God is spoken first. Then if you want to and if you need to, you can go over into the English, just because sometimes we have a limitation on our mind where we think, no, but God's not hearing me. He doesn't know what I was thinking really. I need to just speak it out as well. But so I do that. I normally pray in the Spirit first. Then when I want to go into conversation, like now in English, I will always greet God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'll say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And acknowledge Him. Actually, that's something I'm going to share tonight. What I wanted to say is to have conversation with Him. So not going to God and be like, Lord, please do this and please do this. I started talking to Him about life, about what I did yesterday, what I want to do for Him today. And I asked the Holy Spirit to lead me, to lead my footsteps, to order my footsteps, to every word of my word, every word that comes out of my mouth, to be ordered of Him, to be led by Him. So that's just a little secret. And what I was saying with that is that life is spiritual. You need to speak things into being. Build your relationship with God so that you can have the confidence to do that. And in saying all of that, I want to say that see the stadiums that you see yourself preaching in. See the healing crusades that you see yourself in. See the businesses that you've already seen. You know, see the businesses that you have for you. People got excited when I said businesses. I think Krugersdorp has a bit more business people than spiritual. But see what God has for you. See, I saw a lot. I won't say because I don't want the devil to hear. Not that I think he can hear me, but I don't know if somebody has some open doors. But that's okay. We'll deal with those if you do. So see that. See, and then what you do is you find somebody who's close to you, who's like-minded as you. Share your visions, share your dreams, share what you see with them so that someone is in agreement with you. Amen? Once you see in your mind, begin to act upon it. See yourself being healed for somebody who's sick. See yourself being healed. Begin to act upon it. Whether you walk up and down with that pain, whether you jump up and down and you have that pain, begin to see it. Begin to act upon it so that you can have it. If you trust in God for a baby, see that baby. Go out and buy the clothes for the baby. Already make up the room for that baby. See it. What comes after seeing it? Believe it. We'll get there. But yes, the way I was saying it, yes. Start the business. No matter how many times a business idea has failed, start it again. This time, see it a little bit bigger. See it a little bit wider. See it maybe in a different location. Be sensitive to where God is leading you. Maybe that business hasn't happened because it's not the location. It's not the place that God has for you. It might also not be the season. Be faithful in your season of preparation. Amen? Don't listen to the people and the words spoken negatively over you. Even Joshua's family also spoke against him. Visualize what God has said and not what people have said about you or what they've said about your promise. It's literally reliving what you've already lived and what you've already seen. When prophet prophesies, sometimes you'll hear him say, I see this, I see that. I've traveled here and I've traveled there. That is another level of visualization that we can step into. Amen? This is a prophetic church. This is a prophetic house. It is the mandate that God has given us. And even though we all can raise the dead, we all can heal the sick, we all can cast out demons, we all can deliver people, we all can be blessed financially, This is a mandate that was given to us. And not only to us, there's many other people. But there's a purpose and there's a mission that was given to us where others has a different one. Doesn't make them any less. Not a chance. There's people who God needs to encounter through those ministries. I nearly said something, but then let's not. Maybe if we're not on live stream. No, I'm joking. We're good. Not today. When this morning, what is so amazing actually about this, is this morning when I was spending time with the Lord and I was praying. Now, this is a daily routine for me. Yesterday, I had to meet with my USA disciples at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is 10 o'clock their time. And because I've created this habit of spending time with God every morning, I was like, there's not a chance that this day is going past without me spending time with God first. So I woke up at 2:30, quickly got dressed because I had prayer after that meeting. And while I was spending time with God, all of a sudden, I began to think of, actually, it was this morning, sorry. And I began to think of how, because we all know that before we came to earth, we were with God. And our life had been planned and ordained before we came to earth. So I had not thought about that in the moment. I was actually thinking this morning about the babies that have not been born yet. The ones who are now currently talking and communicating with God, discussing their life, living it out and seeing it and being it and imagining what it's going to be like here on earth. And it was just so powerful for me. And in the same way, I was thinking about how, you know, this morning's message and how we need to see it. And it is there. We've already lived it. We need to become sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. We need to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. After all, Jesus sent him as our helper, not somebody to be ignored. A lot of times what happens is people think it's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit down there. No. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And Jesus is not here. He was here. He's not here currently. But he said to us, he will not leave us as orphans. We will not be orphans. We will not be alone. A lot of times people feel lonely. They feel like alone and they've got nobody to talk to. They've got nobody to be there for them. Jesus said before he left, I will not leave you an orphan, which means I will not leave you alone. The Holy Spirit is there to be your helper. Make use of him, if I can say it in blunt terms. So anyway, I was thinking about these babies this morning that have not been born yet, and I thought it was just a special moment for me, thinking about how I've already discussed with God where I'm going to be, what am I going to do, and the same with all of you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So just because the situation that you're going through now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care about you. It doesn't mean that he's not concerned about your situation. Again, a lot of times you feel so like in the season and you feel like, where's God? Where's God? It doesn't mean he doesn't care about you. The scripture says that the things which are seen are temporal. It's because God knows the situation that you're in right now. It's a temporary situation. It's not a situation that's going to define your life. It's not a situation that's going to keep you in there. He knows that it's to end. Amen. We need to be focused with our spiritual eyes. We need to focus on the deeper things, on the deeper realms with God. Amen? Not the physical things. When you establish something in the spirit, it has been established in advance. My tomorrow has been established today. Your tomorrow has been established today. And we've said it many times, what you speak in today, you will live either tomorrow or the days to come. What you believe today, you will step into tomorrow. What you see today, you will step into tomorrow. What you confess today, you will step into tomorrow. So tonight, have a little exercise for yourself when you're about to go to bed after church. Walk up and down your room, up and down your living room, and start discussing your tomorrow with God. Start discussing with the Holy Spirit what it is that you're going to be doing tomorrow. Pace up and down. Father, tomorrow, about this time, this and this and this is going to happen. Tomorrow, this time, I'm going to walk into a spa and I'm going to pray for somebody and they're going to be healed. Tomorrow, about this time, I'm going to walk into the bank and they're going to tell me my debt has been canceled. Tomorrow, I'm going to walk about this time. I'm going to walk into my mother's house and the cancer will be gone. She will be free. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of God is living and breathing inside of you. He's given you the power. He's given you the authority. Oh, you guys need to be more excited than that. Your tomorrow has been established in your today. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and what to do in that day. Have a daily life of prayer. A lot of people, whenever you say to somebody, you know, you need to have a daily prayer life. You know, the Lord revealed to me something this week as well, where He was talking about how we talk about our first fruits and our first fruits when it comes to giving. Most of the time we relate that scripture to giving. And we all know the saying, if I can say it that way, that, you know, when you put God first, He'll make you first and everything. And like I said, we relate that most of the time only to finances. But the thing is that, and this is living proof that I'm living, is that when you wake up early, whether it's 30 minutes, I started off with 5 minutes. Prophet and I just went through a hell of a season, but we came out and God has brought us back stronger. Amen. But when I had to restart, I started with 5 minutes. Our bodies were dead, broken. So you understand that 5 minutes is a lot. So to some people, they think 5 minutes is not enough. 5 minutes is a start. But anyway, so in the same way where, you know, we need to give God our first fruits, in the same way, wake up daily and talk to the Lord first. Before everything else, I've had many people ask me, you know, how do you juggle everything? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do that? And before it was kind of like a thing of, you know, you go according to what you can do. You see what's important and you do that. And yes, that is a level. But you get to another level where you can do everything at once. Where your time is extended. The same way that your finances is extended. If you give God your tithes, your offering, and your seed first, your money is extended for the rest of the month. The same thing when you daily wake up in prayer. You spend time with God. You communicate with Him. You talk to Him about that day. That same way, you will be multiplied in your day. Amen. Those are the times where you make, and why do I say early in the morning? Because it's the first part of the day. I mean, when at night you're going to go to sleep and you're going to sleep for a couple of hours, you don't need to do anything but dream and visions and those things at night. I mean, you can do both if you want to. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings 6 verse 17. 2 Kings 6 verse 17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around you. Imagine you are so dangerous that the enemy has to send chariots of fire, that he has to send horses to encamp you to try and stop you. Now, even though this was in the physical, The servant did not see in the spiritual. The young man did not see what was happening in the spiritual. So therefore, Elisha prayed. Everything has been given to us. His divine power has been given to us. You just need to take what has been given to you, what belongs to you. Amen? Anything in the Old Testament, anything that was done in the Old Testament by Moses, by Joshua, by Elisha, Elijah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Paul, everything that's been done by them, we will do greater. We are to do greater. You know, the Bible says that out of everyone, John was the greatest. And the reason why he was the greatest is because he was secure in who he was. He knew his identity. He was John the Baptist. And John's disciples in John 3 came to John and said to him that Jesus is now baptizing people too in his territory. And Jesus was doing the same thing. But John was not phased. He was not worried by what Jesus was doing. He knew that he had set a platform for Jesus to be able to do what he had to do. He knew that Jesus was the Christ, and therefore Jesus had to do what he had to do. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that that is why John was the greatest out of all of them, greater than Moses, greater than Isaac, greater than everybody, Abraham. But now the Bible says that we are greater than John. We will do greater exploits than what Jesus did. Come on, somebody. These men walked on water. They healed the blind. They split the waters. They stopped the sun from revolving or moving. Come on, somebody. The Bible says we will do greater, that we are greater than what they had. If John was the greatest because he knew who he was, how much more greater are we when we know who we are in Christ? Come on. Come on, somebody. The Bible says even the weakest one is greater than John. So even the weakest one of us who are in Christ is greater than John. So if you feel like the most insignificant Christian, the most less powerful, I don't know, the most incapable person, even you are greater than John, which then makes you greater than Moses and Abraham and Elisha and Paul and all of them. Come on, somebody, do you know your Bible? Do you know what these men did? The Bible says you will do greater than what they did. You are greater than what they were. Imagine the power that is running through your veins. You are born of the Spirit. We are members of the body of Christ. We're not members to a library. We're members of the body of Christ. Christ is my fingers. Christ is my eyes, my ears, my mouth. When I speak, Christ is speaking through me. When I walk, Christ is walking through me. When I lay hands on the sick, it's Christ who's moving on the inside of me, who's moving through me. And the same for you. Visualize yourself doing these great exploits. I said to somebody this week, I was like, you better watch me. I'm going to walk on water. And if I want to get there, if I want to get that side of the lake, I will make the water pass and I will walk through the lake. I will see the little fishies that we saw in our children's church Bible swimming past me. I said to them, there will come a time where I will be preaching in Krugersdorp or Centurion, but I will also be preaching in Satsboro. My physical body will be here, but my spirit will be there. I will do great exploits. Come on, somebody. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have an advantage than what these great men of God have. Why do you find it so difficult to believe that we can do greater? Why? Why do you limit yourself to think, I can't just walk into that boardroom, take authority of this situation, and get the contract that's needed? Why do you think you can't just walk into a hospital, lay hands on the sick, and they be healed? Why? I don't know. You need to think to yourself why. I don't know your answer. I knew my answer. Are you guys excited?
Yes.
Are you excited for the season God's about to take us in? When God warned us about the labor pains that are to come before the rapture, He was expecting us to be operating in these great exploits already. So He warned us about this time. He warned us about this season. He was already expecting us to do these things. He wants you to do what you're called to do. Are you about to step into what you're called to do? Are you about to step into the promises of God for your life? If you're still sitting down, I think your answer is no. You're not ready for what God has for you. Oh, come on, somebody, I'm ready. I'm ready to shake the nations. I'm ready to heal the sick, deliver the oppressed. Oh, come on, somebody. Let the Spirit of God stir a hunger inside of you. Listen, in my services and in prophet services, I can't speak for the other pastors, but never think you're screaming too loudly. Never think that you're jumping too much. Never think that you're raising your hands too much. Never. Amen. Amen. So how they think, like I said, they think that they can limit us. They think they close these flying things. They don't know what we're about to do. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You may be called to business, but you will heal the sick. You will deliver the people. You will get the soul saved. We are in an army fighting a battle, getting ready for the most glorious and heavy war of mankind. We were called for the end time revival. If you are living and breathing, whether you think you have a limitation, if you are living and breathing in this place or online or wherever you're watching us from, you better know. You better know you're about to step into a dangerous season for your life. You are part of the end time revival. You better just not be cut off, because there's about to be a cutting away, a falling away. And Prophet has been teaching us so much about that. You better make sure you are not falling away and living in a shack. The shack is around the corner, or your mansion is around the corner. If you lived in a shack or in a one-bedroom house on this world, you better get busy. You better get busy. Your mansion is about to come. It's real. It is real. To some people, it's a fantasy. It's real. Amen? Don't doubt and question the power and the authority and the ability that you carry. I'm going to say that again. Don't doubt and question the power, the ability, and authority of God that you carry. Speak things into existence. You have the power and authority. You pray once, that's faith. If you pray and ask a second time, that's doubt. So you pray once, asking God for something. After that, you thank Him. You decree it into the atmosphere. You declare it into the atmosphere. You, in your relationship with God, in your communication with God, you say, okay, God, it's been a little bit too long. It's about time that this situation gets fixed. I've been serving you. I've been laying down my life. I've been doing all these things. It's about time that this situation comes to an end. Not please, God. It's been so long. I can't do this anymore. Please, God. Really, that's how we look. Imagine how much worse we look in the spirit. Flip, when my girls nag, Izzy's not here, she's upstairs. Then I don't know what comes out of me. It's better now. But for those people who have children, and you can remember the moments when your children nag, you're like, sometimes you just want to flick them and be like, just shh. Imagine how much more God when you nag and moan and groan. Understand the power, the authority, and the ability of God that's inside of you. What you carry. Have a relationship with God. That's why I'm saying it's so important to have an open communication with God. We limit God to our belief. We limit Him to thinking, I have to be all somber and we respect God 100%. Flip, the fear of God will come so heavy upon you if you don't. But the thing is it's a relationship. Become a friend of God. How do you become a friend of God? Keep His commandments. One of them is to love one another. How do you love one another? You lay your life down for somebody else. For somebody else's vision. Amen? The enemy wants to keep you focused on the wrong and negative in your life. To distract you from the promises that God has for you. And I think everybody can testify to that. We've all been through that. So I'm going to give you 5 points to help you when it comes to this. Number one, remove people who mess up your vision. Remove people from your life that mess up your vision. A lot of times people want to hold on to people. They go into an emotional state if a relationship is broken or if a friendship is lost or something like that. But the thing is God is removing it for a reason. Don't hold on to the distractions. Don't hold on to the bondages or the words that is connected to that relationship. Let it go and go higher with God. Amen? Number two, keep listening to the right words and the right man of God. Keep listening to the right words and the right man of God. Listen to people who build you up, to people who see your vision. Number three, focus on the unseen. Don't focus on your current circumstances, but focus on what are not physically seen. See and focus with your spiritual eyes, like I said earlier. Number four, have no fear. Have no fear. And number five, don't get the wrong information. You know, Jesus told us that we shall have trouble on this earth. We will have trouble. But He is expecting us to live that which we visualize, to live that what we see. He's expecting you to see it, to speak it, to believe it, and therefore you have it. Amen? You can speak things into existence. Just keep hearing the right things and have the right word inside of you, which again is the right man of God, the right people around you, so that you don't get false teachings and false words. I'm not saying everybody, but there are definitely some. If you have them, the Holy Spirit is inside of you and He will expect you. So if you have the Word of God inside of you, it's the Holy Spirit that's inside of you and He expects you to do great exploits. Like I said, this is the end time revival. It's been prophesied. It's been told. We can see with our physical, we can see everything that's happening. The Bible told us about the buying and selling and all those things that are happening right now. We just focus on that. We don't focus on the part that it's the end time revival. And even though there will be a great falling away, it'll not be for encounter. It'll not be for your loved ones. It'll not be for your friends. It'll not be for your circles. Amen? They will not fall away. Just keep hearing the right things and the right word. And do great exploits. We are, no matter what position they hold, no matter what they've studied, we are greater than kings and queens and presidents and politicians. Far greater than them. We have far more authority than them. I'm not telling you to do anything. You know what God says. So I'm going to end off with this. See yourself where you want to be. See yourself where you want to be. Speak yourself where you see yourself. So speak yourself where you see yourself. And be where you have seen and spoken yourself to be. Be where you have seen and spoken yourself to be. And just like Abraham, I want to encourage you to stagger not. Amen. Are you ready for the season and the breakthrough that God is bringing for you? Are you ready to step out of your front door and say to God, God, let's go walk on some water. Get some people to believe that you are the true and living God. Let's go into the hospital and clear out a whole hospital ward to show people that you are the Son of the living God, that you died on the cross so that I can be healed. Let's go into mental assignments and cause those demons to be bound out of those people so that they can see that we serve a true and living God. Come on, somebody. Are you ready? Are you ready for what God is taking you? Oh, come on, somebody. All right. I'm ready. So as long as you're ready, I'm ready as well. And that's what I have for you for today. And I told you, it's a fresh perspective. We've heard all of these things before, but it's from a fresh perspective. It's a new season that we stepped into. It's not now just a season of then and what's going to happen. It's a season for now. There's acceleration in the spirit. There's acceleration in the atmosphere. There's an urgency that's now happening in this end time revival. Are you going to be part of it or are you going to be cut off? Encounter will be part of it. Oh, one day we're going to have mansions next to each other. Down the road, reliving what we did here on earth. We'll be sharing the stories just like Moses and them did. Oh, come on, somebody. The fire of God is about to be stirred up inside of you. A fresh hunger is about to stir up inside of you.